You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
901 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And is he on? Is BK on? So BK yesterday.
Brad Kellner
on the afternoon show.
Host from the wheelhouse. He was, so there was a challenge. He lost a pick contest. And
well,
Cody,
listen, more than he lost a pick, he sucks.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he's awful.
We'll put it all out there.
Okay. So, no. Like, he goes 0 for a bunch of weeks in a row.
You have to embarrass the guy.
Well, I'm not trying to embarrass him. I'm just trying to give you, perspective on this whole thing. Okay.
Okay.
He's awful.
Okay. So
I don't want to make him feel bad.
I'll just tell you that the punishment was, it's a Cody Stutz. So Stutz said there was a time where he was at close to 400 pounds and his biggest order he had was at McDonald's. This was an order, 4 double burgers, which are not the hugest, but 4 double burgers, 40 nuggets, which I didn't even know they did a 40 piece nugget
and a large fry with a Diet Coke.
Diet Coke and some sauces. So the punishment was, okay, Brad. Now Brad is a thin guy.
Yeah,
Brad's a thin guy.
That's
one
why
of those guys,
I didn't get it when he was.
But he's one of those guys that probably could eat 3,000 calories in a day, and you don't even like. Because Charlie Palillo, Charlie's as close to a wolf as I've ever seen.
I think Charlie might have been able to do that challenge yesterday.
Yeah. Charlie could have done that.
I will ask Charlie when he comes in.
So the total calorie count, I'm gonna
36.
No. It was higher than
37
that.
Something. So 3,700 something.
So the expected calorie, they ended up doing the entire thing. They looked at it all. The entire calorie count, if he were to consume it all, including the sauces, there was 4 sauces, was 4,020 calories. If he could finish it.
Oh, with the sauces. Okay.
3780 without the sauces.
Yeah.
I initially had, I kept going up. My final total was about 1980 was my over under on calories that he would be able to consume before he tapped out. Let's bring Brad Kellner on right now. So he had to try to finish all of this in 1 hour. I thought they should give him a full show. I thought that would be the most fair thing to do. But Brad Kellner did this in about 45 to 50 minutes, I believe. And we want to see how far he got in this challenge, or did he complete the challenge? Brad, welcome into the show. How are you feeling today?
Oh, man. Lance, you just reciting that order almost made me throw up again.
Again? Wait a minute. Did you puke after?
Oh, at about 3 in the morning. I couldn't sleep. I was hurting. And ran to the bathroom and did the proverbial pull the trigger. And got rid of some of it. It didn't taste as good coming out. I can tell you all that.
But it's still, you didn't get rid of all of it. It's still, there's still plenty of it in there. First of all, it's almost a death knell. You're going to eat all that McDonald's at one sitting. That's just terrible. How much did you get through?
I got through 30 McNuggets, 2 McDoubles, and the entirety of the large fry.
You finished off the fries.
I did.
According to Andrew Carlson, your producer, the total amount of calories consumed ended up being 2,800 calories or 2,560 without sauces. You did a pretty good job. You went over the total. Vegas had the number lower. So you went over the total in Vegas. That was pretty. Was there a time where you thought, I can do this? Like, what order did you go in?
Well, I'm like Bryce Young, first of all. Everybody doubted me because of my size. Nobody ever gave me a chance to do anything like this. And I think I proved a lot of people wrong yesterday.
You proved me wrong.
With my performance.
Yeah. You proved me wrong.
But my original plan was to go 10 McNuggets and then McDouble, and then 10 more McNuggets and then McDouble, and just continue along that path. But there was a 20-piece McNugget in there, and I downed that quick. I was off to a great start. I had a great pace going. I was on track to finish everything. But once I finished my first 20 nuggets, I went to a McDouble, and the bread of the McDouble is what did me in. And once I ate one of those, I could feel that I was in trouble. And I started slowing down right after that. So I think I ate 2 McDoubles. I put fries on there to try to make the whole thing go a little quicker. So I ate two McDoubles and like half the fries, and then I hit a wall right after that. It was a struggle to get through the other 10 nuggets and the rest of the fries. And I've just had a lump in my stomach since then.
And this was just an everyday order for Cody at one time.
I said, how did you eat this? He goes, well, what I did was I had a ping pong table, and I laid it out. I'd open up all the sauces, all four sauces. I put it there. I said, did you have a pattern that you ate? He goes, no, just whatever I grabbed, I ate. You know, it didn't matter. And because Cody's not close to 400 pounds now. He's lost weight. He's not a small guy, but he's lost weight. And we remember Cody did the Hoffie Burger Challenge. He did that when there was the Hoffie Burger. It was Cody who couldn't – I don't think he finished the Hoffie Burger. I think Raheel may have beaten him in a burger eating challenge.
Well, but Raheel's good. No, Raheel's good.
Yeah, but he said he learned from that and got better.
Yeah.
Stute said, you know, I learned from my issues and I got better as an eater. Better, worse, whatever.
So, but I think, Brad, the moral of this story is that you got to get better at picking games. You suck at it.
Oh, I think I'm incredible at it, John. I've been doing the people a favor all year. I'm missing at a 65% clip. So if you've been fading me all season and we've been advising the people to fade me, you'd be rich right now. Like, I'm better than any of those 800 numbers with my success rate this year. Absolutely. So I've been incredible.
No, if you do fade your picks, that's absolutely right. So are you trying to not win, or you're trying to win and you're just bad at it?
I'm not even sure anymore, John. I've tried to fade my own thoughts, and when I do that, I still miss. And when I go with what I think is going to happen, I still miss. So at this point, I have no idea what's going on.
How would you do it differently if you were to do the same eating challenge? What would you do differently?
I'd smoke a ton of weed beforehand.
Okay.
Or I'd drink a few beers beforehand just to increase my appetite.
Yeah, there you go.
Would you save the burgers for last?
I think so. I think I would. I think I'd go the 40 nugs and then get into the burgers just to guarantee that I'd finish the nuggets. Maybe leading up to the day, maybe leading up to yesterday, I would have tried to eat a lot to stretch my stomach. Like, I didn't eat anything going in yesterday, which I think was the right move. I kind of starved myself the day of, which I thought was a good idea, but I should have done like the Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi, like the major league eaters spend like months eating a lot to expand their stomach.
That's it.
I probably should have done that at least for like a week or two, but we didn't announce this was coming until like 3 days ago, so I didn't have a ton of time to do that. So maybe I would have gone that route, but yeah, probably saving the McDoubles for last would have been the best course of action in real time.
So are you going in today or not? You're done.
I don't want you to call me a puss again, John.
Right.
I'll be able to stop that.
Well,
yeah, if I was doing the morning show today, I would not be there. I'm not going to lie. But hopefully by 3 o'clock, I'll be good to go.
Well, hopefully. Well, BK, congratulations on being terrible at picking, and you couldn't even finish the meal. So I don't know what we're congratulating you for.
Yeah, I'm just not really good at anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you going to have to do the Waffle House thing too?
It's looking that way. There's still time, but
what does that mean?
So fourth place.
So they have to. The loser of the season long.
Oh,
this is just a month long that he had to pay off.
Season
long has to spend 24 hours in a Waffle House.
But you get an hour
every
taken
waffle
off for what?
You eat. You get an hour off.
Right.
That's not that hard.
Ooh.
So we'll see.
I don't want to be in a Waffle House for 2 hours.
Yeah. Right. I mean. There's a
punch. That's 22.
No. Even if you eat 12 waffles, which ain't going to be easy to do, you still got to be there 12 hours.
But bring your okay. So you're going to bring an iPad and watch something, right? Like you'll watch a show.
Yeah.
You'll stream an entire series while you're in there.
Yeah. I'm going to open this up too to our listeners. I've opened up the invitation to anybody who wants to join me for some or all of the 24 hours. So
yeah, that'll make it easier.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, BK, we appreciate it, man. Get better at picking.
I'll try. Thanks, fellas.
All right. Poor BK. He's
40 nuggets.
He had to do the McDonald's. Now he's going to have to do the Waffle House.
Yeah.
If I'm him, listen, I'm out on this deal. I suck at this. I'm not doing it anymore.
How about Stutes knocking down an order of,
Only done it twice.
It doesn't matter. That yesterday, he'd only done it like twice in his college career.
Doing it once is insane.
But still, he did it.
Doing it once.
Congratulations. God bless.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot.
I'd rather clothe him than
40,
feed him.
40 nuggets is one hell of an order.
Yeah.
Like 40 nuggets. You know, sometimes you may be really hungry and think, I'm going to eat 16 wings or whatever. You start going through it and getting through it. You start to realize, I'm starting to get a little full here.
Yeah.
I think the best way to do it is you eat the nuggets, and then before you really start to fall apart, you got to eat the burgers fast. That's the only way to do it. You're going to throw up.
Four double burgers after 40 nuggets? Forget about it.
No, that's what I was saying. That's not possible for Kellner to do that. No. There was no chance.
There was zero chance.
But he did more than I thought he would have. I thought he could go 20 nuggets and two burgers and a few fries. He went further than I thought.
All right. So when we come back, we got Michael who wants to talk draft strategy. We can do that. We'll do that on the other side. But we're also going to talk about it's bad in Dallas right now. It's bad in Dallas, and Jerry's making it worse. We'll talk about that. And that's
nice.
That's always a good thing. That's always a good thing when it's bad in Dallas. Right now, though, it's Pajamagram. It's this Christmas, the next best thing to wear nothing at all, guys. Soft, silky, naturally nude pajamas available exclusively. Only one place you can get them, Pajamagram. If you've never ordered from Pajamagram before, it's awesome. They really do a great job. The gift wrapping is sensational. But here's the deal is they send it to you. She doesn't know what's in it because it's wrapped. Put it right under the tree. It's all done, and she is going to love it. Naturally nude pajamas feel just like her soft skin. Even more alluring than lingerie. You're going to love the feel of them as well. You both will. Leave nothing to the imagination with naturally nude pajamas. She'll love the feeling of wearing next to nothing at all, and you'll love it too. Best of all, Pajamagram does the wrapping for you with free gift packaging. Order today. Pajamagram will also include a free matching naturally nude nightie and with the purchase of a naturally nude pajamas. But that is free gift packaging and a free naturally nude nightie when you order today. Do it now. Do it now because they sold out last year. You got to do it now. Here's what you do. You go to pajamagram.com right now. That's pajamagram.com to order naturally nude pajamas and tell them John Granato sent you.
G'day, mates. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go Sabercats.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 916 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We have a nice show today. We've had BK on. We've had Jeff Van Gundy, Dave Burkett from Detroit talking about their terribleness, along with our terrible. We got a big game this Sunday for the overall championship.
Between Jacksonville, the Texans, and the Lions, we have had some terrible football teams to talk about.
Yeah.
There's some terribility jumping off right now. Who's, outside of those three, who's the next in the terrible? Off the top of your head, do you know? Yeah, Jets.
Yeah. No. I mean, they're fighting. Hey. We got to worry. They're sneaky bad.
Hey, the Jets wanted Trevor Lawrence bad, and they couldn't get him, so they said, you know what? Let's just draft Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Okay.
How's that working out?
That's what I'm saying. Don't draft guys unless you really believe in them. You know who else is going to be in that draft? Patrick Surtain, Micah Parsons, basically players like Jamar Chase. I mean, you drafted because you needed a quarterback. And you just said, well, I guess Zach Wilson's okay. Don't do that. Don't draft guys that you think are just okay because you need quarterback. Get good players. That's my whole point. When it's time for the Texans to draft, if you don't believe in one of these quarterbacks, get a good player.
All right, let's see what Michael says about draft strategy. He's here. What do you say, Michael?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I think that Lance is right, but I think the real answer is to draft multiple good players. So instead of drafting Trevor Lawrence even or Zach Wilson, when your team sucks at multiple positions, the Patriots have pretty much proven the answer is to trade back, because all of the draft picks are about 50-50 hit or miss. And if that's the case, you need as many as you can get. So in Houston's case, if we suck for the next 2, maybe 3 years, which it looks like we might, and we end up with, let's say, the first or second pick, and you have Deshaun that wants to be traded, you trade everything. No. You trade your first pick for multiple years. You trade Deshaun. You get those first-round picks, and then you trade those picks back for multiple picks.
When do you draft?
And you build out your roster with first and second round picks.
When do you draft?
See, here's the deal, though. The Patriots are a bad example because they had the quarterback position solved. Not only solved, but they had a guy who could overcome all
And they're never drafted inside the top five either. They're never drafted inside the top five. It's easy to trade back.
By the way, they screwed up a lot of drafts.
It's easy to trade back when you're outside the top 10.
The Patriots are a terrible example. They had Tom Brady, so they could afford to trade back. And then when they did
draft
back, the guys that they drafted weren't good.
Yeah, and it's easier to trade back. And most good teams will trade back and add volume picks. You're right about that, Michael. It's Daryl Morey said there was a paper written at Sloan Sports Conference that showed, it was a study done showing that there's not a lot of difference between GMs. Now, this is probably 2013 when this was done. But the difference that Morey said that they found at Sloan Sports Conference is just quantity. Who had the most picks? When you had the most picks, you had the best opportunity to succeed because you have more of them. Here's what I do believe, though. You have to get, we'll call them gold star players. You've got to get gold star players. D-Hop was one. J.J. Watt was one. You win with gold star players. There's, let's say gold star, blue chip, and red players, right? Battle red. Battle red's going to be an average starter. Blue is going to be a high-end starter, and gold is going to be an all-pro caliber player. You draft to find the all-pro caliber players. Micah Parsons is a difference maker in a game. Quarterbacks, really good quarterbacks, are difference makers. They can sustain success and have impacts on each game. So when you draft, you always have to draft with the idea of, yeah, you want to get a bunch of picks and all that. But if you're picking a bunch of guys whose contracts who end up being pretty good, and then you got to figure out giving them second contracts, they're going to end up walking. You're not going to be able to keep a bunch of first rounders who come due all at the same time. What you have to do is find gold star players. And so you don't pass up on a gold star player for a blue and a red. You've got to have gold. You never pass on a gold star player. And when you do, that's when you start to get sick to your stomach. Cleveland Browns had a chance to draft Pat Mahomes, and they didn't. They had a chance to draft, not Pat Mahomes. They got traded in front of. But they had a chance to draft Deshaun Watson, and they didn't. Got to be sick to their stomach. If you look at how the Browns kept trading back, and they never sat down and made a pick, that's how you end up losing. Like you have to at some point get star players, draft star players. That's how you win championships. You know, Indianapolis is in a position they're in because they got all pros. Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard, and Jonathan Taylor now are all pro players. That's what you have to draft. The Texans have got to get all pro players. They don't have them. They don't have anybody.
No.
They used to.
No.
Rick Smith drafted some all pros. He wasn't good in any of the other rounds, but he, under his watch, they grabbed Dwayne Brown, all pro player. Now, I know that's not really Rick's pick. That was Alex Gibbs. It doesn't matter. The Texans got Dwayne Brown. That was an all pro, one of the best at his positions. Andre Johnson, best at position. J.J. Watt, best at position. D Hop, best at position. He wasn't drafted, but they had Arian Foster, who was best at position at one point. Look at these guys who are at incredibly high levels. That's five guys who are on a roster at one time. Andre was on that roster. That's five guys who are on the roster at the same time. And I'm not even mentioning Brian Cushing or Antonio Smith. It's a free agent. But, you know, a Connor Barwin, who was a good pick, not a first rounder. But it's when you have those gold star players that you have a chance to win at the highest level.
Yeah.
You're not winning with good players. You got to have some great players.
Yeah.
It's hard to win with good. The only team I can think of that won with good was, you know, Eli Manning's teams. But then you had Michael Strahan.
The front four was awesome.
The front four was phenomenal. They had a dominant front four.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, you got to have. Oh, you really?
Now, I in general,
have good players.
Now, in general, okay. I like the idea of trading back.
I do
generally,
too.
And last year was the time you could have done
it. I do too.
I don't know about trading too far back in the first round. You want to trade out of the second pick and you want to go to the fifth pick? I'm probably going to be fine with that. I need to see what I think the board looks like, but I'm probably going to be okay with that because you are so devoid of talent.
Yeah. All right. So you mentioned the Micah Parsons. They've got talent over in Dallas, only it's not coming together right now. They just beat the Reds, the football team.
Wow. You almost said the R word.
I didn't say the R word. I said the reddish football, the team that wears red, football team. And Dak, he had a QBR. You know what Dak's QBR, out of 100, what his QBR was on Sunday?
What?
Yes. They won the football game.
40?
9.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
you know how much he's getting paid? A lot.
And you know, he's really, really slumping. And as a matter of fact, that's what Jerry Jones had to say about him.
Ooh.
I don't want to say that slump, but that's probably fair. But it's such a multifaceted evaluation. But I would say that offense is definitely away from where we were playing 5 and 6 games ago from the standpoint of production.
Looking at Dak Prescott's productivity, wow, so he only missed one game, huh? I was thinking he missed more than that. Here's what he's been since he was out in week 7. 19 of 39, 232, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. 24 of 31 against Atlanta. That was a blowout. He was good. He was good in that one. Let's go to Kansas City, where they lost to Kansas City. 28 of 43, 216, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. 32 of 47 against the Raiders, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 375. That was good. But then 26 of 40, 1-1 with 238. 22 of 39 for 211, 1-2. Like, in 3 of his last 4 games, he has gone below 238 yards. In those games, he has 2 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. And with one game in between where he's got the 2 touchdown, 375-yard performance against the Raiders. Dak has really not been good. He just his quarterback rating in general, 57.9, 106, 79, and 58.4. That is a problem. That is a big problem for the
Cowboys.
Yeah,
that's different than QBRs. Quarterback rating is different.
Yeah,
that's going to be higher.
It's different. But 9 points, 36 points, 27, 27. But their defense scored for him in the last game. I mean, that's they won because of their defense. Dak got Washington back in the game. Dak got Washington back in the game.
Yeah, that pick 6 was huge.
It was a monster.
Huge. Trade DW4 for Dakota?
No.
No,
I don't want him in that contract.
No.
No.
No. No, thank you.
That contract's
sorry,
not.
Art,
I want to get away.
To start
I want to get
here.
Away from that contract.
Yeah. No.
I want to get away from
both
monster
contract.
Quarterback contracts. What's been it's been shown that I think what we're going to find out is the monster second contract for quarterbacks is a big problem. Russell Wilson is an example. And they just had a bunch of good players that came due and they weren't able to pay them all. But it's hard. It's hard to get your second contract and make $40 million, close to $40 million a year. 40 is going to start being the number. And then you just hope that you can fill in the team around. That's just not a good idea. It's hard.
All right, when we come back, we got to hear from Leach. And Leach paying off on his shot at Texas Tech. And not only that, but Leach had something to say about guys missing bowl games too. So we'll talk about that. But right now we're talking about Aqueduct Plumbing. We're talking about TheBenchPlumbing.com. These people are awesome. And, you know, you're dealing with a business, right? But you're dealing with people, and you're dealing with philosophy at the top. And the philosophy at the top of Aqueduct Plumbing is we're going to come to your home. We're not going to charge you to come to your home like other plumbers do. What we're going to do is we're going to come to your home. We're going to give you a free and fair estimate of the work that needs to be done. Whatever that work is, no job too big or too small for Aqueduct Plumbing. You might hear noises in the, you might not, your hot water might not be great. It might not last long. All of these things might be happening to you, but Aqueduct Plumbing is going to come and alleviate those problems.
Listen, leak detection, they do that underneath your home. They do the one pipe, the one day repipe underneath your home. They can do rerouting. They can do gas reroutes, tankless water heaters, and just they can do new construction, remodels, or just standard issues with leaky faucets. They do all of these. So make sure that you have this website ready for the next time you have a plumbing need. I'll give you the number too, 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. Or just remember this website, thebenchplumbing.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports.
Hey, we're just over a week away now. 9 days from the Christmas party at Klein's. Next Friday, December 24th, Christmas at Klein's. And Mark's joining us right now to tell you how you can take advantage of him this holiday season. What's up, Marky Mark?
Hey, what's up? Christmas at Klein's, 9 days away. It's been about 25 years we've been doing it. Hey, the greatest deals in the city of Houston. Everybody's talking about diamond earrings, John. Diamond earrings. Oh, you know, they started anywhere from $300 on up. Something in her, you know, for diamonds for your wife, for Christmas, for your girlfriend, whatever it is. If you give her diamonds, she's going to have a great Christmas. So anything in diamonds, diamond earrings, diamond bracelets, diamond tennis bracelets, diamond pendants, whatever you need in jewelry, in diamonds, Klein's Jewelry has it, and it's better priced than anywhere else in the city. One thing that we're doing is that we're quoting prices over the phone. So if you have a clarity and color and a size of diamond earrings or diamond bracelet or diamond rings that you want done, just give us a call. We'll quote you the price over the phone. You'll come over to the store. You'll get it from us. It'll be the best deal in the city of Houston. ESPN listeners, I'm telling you what, come in. We're going to take care of you every single time.
Oh, every time. It's ridiculous. 5868 West Homer. Mark's been doing this for years. Send him a picture or describe what you want. He can make it. He's got the elves in the back, plus he's got all kinds of stuff in stock as well. It's at 5868 West Homer. Stop on by or give him a call, 832-316-1388. It's Klein's Jewelry.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So I just think that they did this on purpose. A lot of times the NCAA basketball tournament, they will set matchups like Indiana will play Texas Tech when Bobby Knight was at Tech. You know,
I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, that's what happened when they set up this bowl game. Mississippi State against Texas Tech. And it's a chance for Mike Leach to be front and center. And his divorce with Texas Tech was ugly, lawsuit-wise. He said they owe him, and he's not forgotten about it. How many years ago is this now that it's been 12 years since Tech fired him, and Leach hasn't forgotten that they still owe him some money.
You know, in a bowl game, you're going to play a quality team. So another quality team. I mean, great school. I got great memories there. They still owe me for 2009, the last time they won 9 games. So maybe they'll deliver the check. So we'll see what happens there. No matter who we play, I mean, there's a high level of urgency to try to win the game. So, I mean, there's no real room for extra degree of stuff, you know?
I think there's probably a little extra degree. I want to tell you this.
Let them beat Tech and watch what he says.
Oh, not only that, but watch him pile on. I think I really like whatever this line. I don't even know what the line is, but I'm going Mississippi State.
I had to guess. Saying six.
I have a feeling dude's going to pile on.
That's a total guess. I have no idea what that number is.
But you notice the little shot there? You know, the last 2009, you know, the last time they won 9 games.
9 games? That's been that long.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you guys remember when you were good when I was there? Yeah. But he also had this to say, something that I think you will especially enjoy.
Mm-hmm. The top 7 or 6 sometimes end up out of that game.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what he'll do. But, you know, there's...
Yeah, you got to finish what you start. You know, you've got an obligation to the place that helped build and develop you, and finish it out in the bowl. I mean, that's part of it. You owe it to your team, you owe it to your fans, you owe it to your coaches. And, you know, it's the most bizarre thing in the world to me. Somebody says, well, you know, I can't play one more. You know, they think they're going to have a storied 10-year NFL career, and then they can't play one more college game. Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, guys will go to the NFL and they make the Pro Bowl, then they'll play in the Pro Bowl. I mean, you know, it's one of the biggest absurdities that I've seen. And it's selfish, too.
So it's a little difficult to understand. He said you got an obligation to the place that helped build you and develop you and finish it out in the bowl. That's part of it. You owe it to your team. You owe it to your fans. You owe it to your coaches. It's the most bizarre thing in the world to me. I think you probably heard it was the audio was a little bit better. They think you're going to have a storied 10-year NFL career, and then you can't play one more college game? It makes some, you know.
It does make some sense.
I guess you owe it to the school. Now that you're getting paid, I mean, when players were making nothing at all and just doing it for love and, oh, by the way, exposure to the NFL, granted,
and paid,
you know,
for
if
a
it
lot
wasn't
of guys.
For that college, yeah.
A lot of guys were still paid under the table. But
Yeah.
What's a culmination of your season? What's the difference between – so you have to ask a few questions. What's the difference between the ninth game of the year and, in this case, the 13th or 14th game of the year?
Yeah.
For a lot of these guys, they say they're gonna leave – because they want to start training for the bowl. Now, I'm going to say something you're not going to expect. They want to train for the draft,
yeah.
Right? I'm going to say something that you're probably it's going to probably surprise you. For some of these guys, based on your draft, let's say your bowl game's the 27th, the Senior Bowl. This year, it's at the back end of January. That's enough time to get ready. But if you had time to heal, for certain guys to heal there, if you're done in early December, really you're done at the end of November, and then in December, you have time to heal and start your training process, you'll probably be in a pretty good spot come Senior Bowl. Although Senior Bowl is not about testing, it's just about practicing and playing. I could also make the case that the longer you practice and get ready for your bowl game and then play your bowl game, you A, have more tape that can show what you can do, and B, you're going to be a little more battle-tested in terms of your readiness for the Senior Bowl, because you will have been sharp in real practice scenarios and situations and in game scenario and situation, as opposed to taking off two months. Now, healing is important. I think the physical healing process is important. But to say you're getting ready for the draft, you know, you have time to get ready for the combine. It's one game is not going to kill you. And I think for some guys, it makes sense. I'll give you an example. Treylon Burks, I wrote him up from Arkansas. I don't know that there's anything else that he is going to do that can help himself. And I do think this concept changed after Jalen Smith got hurt with Notre Dame against Ohio State. That's when everyone started looking at this like, wow, am I going to risk my career for this bowl game? It's unlikely to happen. There's been like two injuries that I can think of that have had serious impact on draft stock based on the bowl game. But some of the guys who sit out, like, what are y'all doing? Why, underclassmen, I'm not going to play in a bowl game. I want to get ready for the draft. It's not, you're not doing yourself any, if you're not a high first rounder, what are you, you're not accomplishing anything.
Yeah.
It's, you're really not. And I would think the culmination of your teammates, your experience in college, just finishing the season would be a big deal. Now, if these bowl games took place 2 weeks after the end of the season, I think you actually might have more players playing them, to be honest with you. And I do think the NIL gives you a better chance to keep some of those middling players in there, because if they have NIL deals, there's better exposure.
Well,
to bowl
how about
game.
NIL bowl deals? Bowls. You want guys to play? Give the kids some money instead of, you know, I realize it's one game a year, and the president of your bowl probably makes $1 million or $1.5 million for that one game. So, you know, that makes a zero sense whatsoever.
I think they'll give product. I think they will offer
they always
product.
Give product. They
well,
always,
what are you going to do in the Mayo Bowl? You get what? Unlimited mayo?
No.
You want that? Is that what you want?
No. You can give cash and prizes. Okay? That's right.
How about gift cards?
Okay.
How about a $100 Target gift card for every player?
How about Apple gift cards?
Their swag card's pretty good. Their swag bags are usually pretty good.
Yeah, usually pretty good, but not good enough to entice a kid.
You know schools lose money on those bowls?
Yeah, because they have to buy the tickets.
The schools lose money on the lower level bowls.
Yes.
They don't have the TV deals. It's actually not profitable. I'm surprised bowl games still go on. I think there's I think some of the organizers make their money, and that's why they have them.
Well, it's exposure too, though.
Yeah, the reality is for a December 22nd game, it's a losing proposition for a lot of these colleges. And there has been talk about some of these colleges saying, no, we don't want this game anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's just they're gonna lose money on it.
Right.
Travel expenses, ticket expenses.
So part of your payment for going to the bowl is here's a bunch of tickets that we're giving you, of tickets that you can't sell because no one is going to the game. So they say, this is your payment. You get to sell these tickets. Well, guess what? No money's buying them.
But that's not why guys play the games anyway. I mean, they play because they like football and they want to compete. They want to win. And I don't want to act like every player is just some mark that doesn't want it, that just wants to lay on a couch and have money thrown on them, top of them, and they don't like the sport. I mean, that's not real. Most players love playing their sports, especially in college. They love playing their sports. Most of them do. Most of them will never go on to play NFL football. For most of them, this is their last game that they'll ever play if they're seniors. So I think most guys really do like to play. They like the experience of going to travel. They like the experience of going to the pre-game events that they go to and making memories. You know, I don't want to be so cynical that we don't talk about what actually happens, which is there's some pre-game memories that they develop, and they get cool little swag bags, and there's some stuff that happens. For guys who look at this as a stepping stone to the pros, some of them are right. It is going to be. And some of them overestimate their own value, and what they're going to end up doing is missing out on an experience because they think that there's something magical waiting on the other side when there really is not going to be.
Nope. All right. When we come back, news of the weird. And there
How do you say news in Spanish?
Noticias.
Noticias de loco?
No. Del extraordinary, del raro, not loco. Loco is crazy. Maybe noticias locuras. Sí, algo así.
Peculiar. No. What's peculiar? How do you say peculiar? Yeah, probably like that.
Probably like that.
Peculiar.
Yeah. Well, you know, you like to say culo. I know you like to say a lot of bad words in Spanish. But
some of them I don't even know they're bad words.
We're going to stop doing that now. What we can do is talk about Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute. I don't think Jeff Aronoff in Spanish is Jeff Aronoff. That's for sure. I know that for sure. That's how you how you translate it.
Jefe.
El jefe. Yeah. You know, he's the boss. So here's the deal is if you're looking for somebody that's going to take care of your home or make it better, people, have you done anything? How long have you owned this house or this business? Have you done anything? Have you upgraded? Have you been? Do you think you're going to sell this thing at some point? And it's when it's dilapidated and terrible and old and not looking cool, not looking good. I mean, you really, really need to put some money into this thing. And that's where Jeff Aronoff comes in. First of all, he'll design whatever it is, so you don't have to get an architect to do that. He'll design it. He'll build it. He contracting it. He's not a subcontract. He's not going to subcontract it. He's going to do it himself. He's going to do that work and be in charge of that job. And he's going to get that job done, and you're going to be completely satisfied, and you're going to love Jeff Aronoff when it's all said and done. All you got to do is give him a call, 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
CarsForKids.org is the website to get you started on the process of donating your car, your truck, your motorcycle, your SUV, I don't care, your RV. They'll come take it off your property. I don't care where it is. It could be at your home. It could be at a storage facility. It could be at a neighbor's house. Whether it's running or whether it's not running, they will come out there. They'll haul the vehicle off. You're going to get a $50 Visa gift card when you mention ESPN 97.5 is where you heard it from. And they are going to give you a tax write-off. And that tax write-off is going to be used either this year or next year, depending on when you do the the donation. And it gives you a chance to write off the car and not the kid. CarsForKids.org, they're doing a great thing. They've partnered with the Houston Can Academy. And what the Houston Can Academy does is they create opportunities for young people to have a second chance at a diploma. And you can be part of that by helping to finance that with your donation. Write off the car and not the kid. For more information, go to carsforkids.org.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You ever watch 90 Day Fiancé?
Nope. It's a wedding show. I don't watch it.
So that's one of the... She's, I guess, the star of 90 Day Fiancé?
Is she a host or...
She's a host. I don't know. There she is, right there.
Yeah.
I mean...
Looks like an Insta picture.
Yeah. I mean, she's talented. She's extremely talented.
I haven't watched the show. I wouldn't know.
And, well, and she has a day job. She says she makes $50,000 a week selling her farts in a jar. Do you want to buy?
Why did the Texans not bottle their farts in a jar? Because that's what their play is. Who wants to buy
crappy farts in a jar from the Texans?
The Texans are farts in a bottle.
Their games Why not are make, farts in a bottle. Yeah, they already have that. That's what you buy when you get a ticket.
She makes how much?
She said $50,000 a week. I mean, would you buy?
No, and this is it. See, this is why women have it so good in our society.
Yeah.
It's so good. Could a man bottle farts and make 50K? No. Could a man have an OnlyFans account and make $100,000 a month? No.
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 It could never happen.
Well, but no, really, hot women have an advantage in society forever.
Watch this. This is a heat check. Girl, watch what I can do. I'm going to bottle my farts and sell them. I bet I still get paid.
Oh, she's going to
get paid. Making so much more money than I ever expected. That probably started as a joke, and now, no, I don't care what you look like. I'm not buying your bottle farts. Don't look at me. Don't turn your computer to me so I can see what she looks like. Mm-hmm. That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't care what you look like.
I don't know.
I mean, I think some are worse than others.
But I could see, you would be alluring.
It doesn't. No, I can't. Number two, it says less about her than it says about her consumers. Men are willing to. There are men. Farts, we are a bad people. We're a bad gender.
You'll buy her farts in a bottle, in a jar.
You thought it wasn't pervy?
That's terrible. No, Ed, why do you want that? I mean, what does it come with? It's just farts in a jar.
Right, so if I bought one for you, if I bought a bottle for you for Christmas and I had it express delivered, and it said, open this jar immediately.
Yeah. No.
Would you do it?
No.
See?
No. I'm not sure the Akron police are all that proud of themselves. Apparently, someone stole a 58-foot bridge. A 58-foot-long bridge
in
Akron. Yes.
In Akron, Ohio.
East Akron.
I know who did that. LeBron. Yeah.
Who did?
LeBron.
He stole their bridge?
Isn't he from Akron?
Yeah, but he didn't steal their bridge. He's too busy telling everybody how to act.
Oh, he's too busy being a boss of everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Who stole an Akron bridge?
They don't know.
They don't know?
If you have any information, I got the phone number. If you're a police department, you can't feel good about yourself. How in the hell did they steal our bridge, a 58-foot bridge? Chicago's got its problems, Lance. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah, I have.
Well, apparently, Chicago has authorized nearly $67 million in police misconduct settlement payments this year.
Ooh.
$67 million.
Did the animals ever have any run-ins with Chicago police?
Well, we would have never won in a case against them, but
no.
Oh, yeah, we had run-ins.
You had run-ins?
We would have never won. They would have never awarded us any money.
Not then, but what about now?
No, man. Well, I don't know.
No, it wasn't misconduct. They never roughed y'all up a little bit?
No.
Chicago police?
No, Chicago police didn't.
Oh, I got you. You're safer.
We're safer. Listen, if I'm a taxpayer in Chicago, you mean police misconduct cost me $67 million just this year?
Yeah.
Are you? No wonder that city, everybody's killing each other. Holy crap. What a terrible city. A man, apparently, he's not the brightest burglar, apparently. He robbed Wells Fargo on Old Capitol Trail, and he handed the teller a note saying he was robbing the bank around 11:20, fled the bank on foot, and once outside, he made a deposit in the ATM.
Got to make sure I get this in.
I got to get this in the bank.
I got to get this in the bank.
I don't want to lose the interest on the money I just stole from this bank.
Where did this happen?
This happened in someplace. Delaware. In Delaware. I would think that's a Florida thing.
No, that's too fiscally responsible for Florida.
Yeah.
Florida would take it and they'd buy something crazy with it or put it on it.
Yeah, right.
But
this guy,
Delaware is like, I need to get this in immediately.
Invest this right away.
I need to get this in because I want to buy some crypto and I want to buy a low during the gap.
Right. But he didn't even wait. He went to the back of the building.
Buy the dip.
Out of robbing it, he went to the back of the building. That is to the ATM in the back. Charlie's not here today. Is that Paul Gallant?
That's Paul Gallant. That may mean Charlie's out.
Charlie's out? Oh, okay, because I wanted to see if Charlie could have eaten that. But Paul Gallant is up next. Our old friend Paul Gallant is in the house, and he's going to be doing the Charlie Polo
show. Mr. Seattle.
Yeah. How'd Seattle work out for you? This place sucks. Time for us to talk about the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. That place doesn't suck. You know what that place is? Awesome. It is literally Golden Nugget in Lake Charles is one of my favorite places in the world. I am really excited. I talked to my daughter yesterday. I'm like, are you excited about going to the Nugget? Yeah, we're going to go to the Nugget. It's going to be a great time. We got a couple of rooms. We're going to be there a couple of days. We're going to gamble. We're going to go to restaurants. We're going to play golf. The girls are going to the spa. It's just awesome. We'll go by the pool, maybe get a cabana. What? It's all awesome. And it's all at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. If you're looking for just fun, and I'm telling you, I've said this I don't know how many times, you don't have to go to Vegas anymore. Because the only thing that was lacking at Lake Charles was sports gambling. And guess what you can do now? Sports gambling with the new DraftKings Sportsbook at the Golden Nugget. And, oh, by the way, they're building it out. And in this summer, that place is going to be beautiful. All I need you to do, instead of flying all the way to Vegas, get to the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. Just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road. It's the Golden Nugget, Lake Charles. Because we're going to be
ESPN 97.5.